Welcome to the service of Holy Communion. Let's be still for a moment as we wait on the Lord. This is the theme for our service this morning. The overall theme, called to be God's people. And today, we're going to be looking at a call to be the body. So will you please respond in the white type. Come, Holy Spirit. 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 We receive the Holy Spirit in this place. Amen. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from our sin and turn to the Lord, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. For together we pray, most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been, help us to amend what we are, and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our reading is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much. This today is our second. Here we are. That's the right place to start. This week is the second in our new series from Romans chapters 12 to 15, entitled "Called to be God's People." And last week we learned from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, what it means to go deeper into our own personal relationship with God. This week, we will discover a call to find out more about our relationship to ourselves. And next week, when we move on to verses 9 to 21, we'll hear more about our relationships with others. And so as we do this, shall we pray together? The psalmist says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So, Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit will show us our way forward in these unusual times. For Jesus' sake, amen. So, as we began last week with our relationship with God, about how when we offer ourselves to God, we experience his transformation and renewal. Verse 2 of chapter 12 was about the renewed mind, about thinking differently, thinking God's thoughts after him in a way that is countercultural. So we're going to move on today to verses 3 to 8, as Paul encourages us to use our renewed mind to think differently about ourselves. Verse 3. Do not look at yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. And it's a really interesting verse, because if we are able to test and approve what God's will is, as it says in verse 2, his good, pleasing and perfect will, Then, says Paul, begin by thinking differently about yourself. Begin by thinking differently about yourself. Now, I think if I'd been giving a talk on our individual commitment to God, my version of chapter 12, verse 3 would have been quite different. It might have been something like, by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, love one another. Or possibly, by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, agree with one another. After all, isn't the renewed mind supposed to be getting us away from our own selfish thoughts and focused on God? But interestingly, before we do anything else, Paul here calls us, first of all, not to look outwards at others, but to look inwards at ourselves, to test out God's will, to know yourself. Do not think of yourself, verse 3, more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. To live this sacrificial, countercultural life, choose, he says, to turn your back on pride. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. And instead embrace humility. Think of yourself with sober judgment. So what is true humility? How do you think of yourself? How's your relationship with yourself? How do you feel about the way you are? Do you know who you are? Do you know whose you are? What sort of person are you? What type of personality have you been given? What are your interests and passions, your gifts and talents? What motivates you? Now, I'm no good at jokes, so I've had to pinch one. And this time it's from a book by John Ortberg called The Life You've Always Wanted, Spiritual Disciplines for Ordinary People. In response to the question, how do we think about ourselves in our everyday lives, Ortberg says, let's say we take this seriously. Someone compliments us on the way we look. Oh, we're trying to live in God's kingdom and respond as Jesus would if he were in our place. So what do we do? Do we say, A, do we first of all, A, look at the ground, shuffle our feet and say, I'm not really attractive. It's just that the light in here is pretty dim. Do we B, boldly speak the truth by saying, I'm terribly interested in what you say. Tell me more. Do we C, quote Proverbs 11:22, in order to correct the other person's superficial focus on physical appearance, which is, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without good sense. This will pretty much remove any problem of receiving too many compliments, says Ortberg. Do we D, be direct and to the point? You're making me into a big head. Get behind me, Satan. Or E, smile, say thank you, then be quiet. What would you do? Humility, says Ortberg, is not about convincing ourselves or others that we are unattractive or incompetent. It is not about beating ourselves up or trying to make ourselves nothing. Rather, humility has to do with submitted willingness. Submitted willingness. It involves a healthy self-forgetfulness. Are you able, in true humility, to be honest with yourself? To exercise what Paul describes here as sober judgment? In fact, it takes a lot of faith and looking to God to truly evaluate what we're like. The New Living Translation helpfully renders this verse, don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given us. So why is this honest evaluation and humility so important? Well, we have time today to look at two main reasons. Firstly, it reflects the glory of God. And secondly, it underpins our life together as church. So first, the submitted willingness, that is humility, enables us to reflect the glory of God. Submitted willingness is exactly how God, the Holy Trinity, behaves. If we do this too, we show his nature, his glory to the world. I wonder if you've ever noticed just how humble the Trinity is. Do you ever hear of God the Father, Son and Holy Spirit ever arguing about who is the most mature or who should be in charge, about who is right, who is wrong? Rather, they relate to one another in humility and with sober judgment, as it says in verse 3. That is, with true or correct judgment. They know themselves, they know one another, and they know where they fit into the whole. It's like the most perfect teamwork ever. This image of the Trinity shows Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in a sacred dance. They have gifted themselves in different ways while still being true to themselves and at the same time being in complete unity of thought and purpose. Take Jesus and the Father. In John 5:19, Jesus credits the Father for what he does. He says the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. John 14:10, Jesus credits the Father for what he says. The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Jesus wants to glorify the Father. He says to his disciples in John 14:13, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now think of how the Father gives preference to the Son. Take Jesus' baptism, for instance, in Matthew 3:17. A voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. The Holy Spirit, too, is always pointing to Jesus. The Son calls him the Advocate when he says to his followers, John 15:26, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And Jesus himself comes under the authority of the Spirit in Matthew 4:1, when we read that Jesus is driven into the desert at the start of his earthly ministry by the Holy Spirit. There is perfect harmony here. None of them ever clamour for attention. Each member of the Trinity knows what their role is in relation to the other two. They know themselves. And as a result, in their circle of love, there is endless, eternal, humble, life-giving community. Here we find unity and we find diversity. They move as one, even though they are separate. And if we as church can imitate their humility, then we will recover some of the image of God in us that was destroyed by the original sin of pride. Humility is a means of redeeming the holiness option of verse 1 of chapter 12. This is part of what it means to be presenting yourself as a living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to God. Unity and diversity in the Trinity, as with God, so with us. Secondly, in chapter 12, verses 4 to 6, Paul illustrates unity and diversity in God's people using the image of the body. For if we look at verses 4 to 6, it says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so we in Christ, who are many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. This body image is one that Paul uses in a number of his letters to the churches of the New Testament, to the Ephesians, to the Corinthians, and to the Colossians, as well as here to the church in Rome. And it's a helpful image because it emphasizes variety as well as unity. In a body, different parts, of course, have different functions. The church, as the body of Christ, is actually quite difficult to illustrate. I do and I don't like this illustration. I like the fact that there are a range of different sizes of wheels united within the one body. and that they're slightly different colours, but they're all the same shape, all circles. That's not enough variety within it for me. So I find this one more helpful. It shows people coming together as one into the cross of Christ. They're separate individuals, yet in God they function in unity. But whatever illustration you care to use, in the body that Paul describes, every role is important and everyone has a part to play. Notice Paul's emphasis in verse 3. I say to all of you, there are many members, they do not all have the same function, yet each member belongs to all the others. That means that every one of us has a gift to offer. Each one of us belongs. Paul goes on to give 7 examples of gifts in verses 6 to 8. The importance here is not so much in the list. Other gifts are mentioned in other places, as in the command to use whatever you have been given. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's in giving, then give generously. If it is lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Don't hang about, says Paul. Get going. Use what you have. Exercise your gifts for the good of all. But, and it is a big but, how can we get going if we're not sure of our gifts? Like many of us in the wake of the global pandemic, I know that in this time of transition and reconnection, I need to consider afresh my gifting and calling for a newly emerging season. Lockdown has resulted in many of us having lost our sense of calling and direction. For some of us, many of the ways in which we were engaging on our front lines, whether in church or in the wider world, have either been lost or else completely reconfigured. What do you do, for instance, if your passion and calling and gift is hospitality? Are you ready to pick this up again, yet? Maybe you can't wait to get going. Or is it time now for something different, perhaps? Other life changes also have an impact. The transition from school to university or employment is huge. Or how about from the parents' point of view when children leave for college or university and you find yourself to be the empty nester? Or when grandchildren arrive and extra cover is needed? Or what about having children in the first place? How about promotion at work or unemployment? Or the retirement from paid work, which, as I've discovered, has needed a whole reappraisal of how I'm called to use my time. Reassessments on the shape of our calling and acts of service are needed throughout life. So it's very timely that as a church we're doing the SHAPE course. Only this week I went to an opening session, and it was just what I needed. It wasn't with a life group. It was for people who don't belong to life groups. But we had 18 of us sitting outside in the Garden of All Saints, going through the SHAPE course part one. And I discovered it was enabling each of us to do exactly what Paul recommends in verse 3. To evaluate ourselves in an honest and encouraging environment. It's just 6 sessions, 6 weeks in which to enable each one of us to get to know ourselves better and to discern what the shape of our calling looks like at this particular time. So that as a body we flourish through the variety of gifts that God in his grace has given us. We need the diversity of the body. But unity is also essential. To illustrate this, I'm going to share with you part of my journey as to why it was that I decided to retire to this part of the country. It begins at a church leaders' conference that I went to about 6 months before I left the parish in North West London where I was serving. At the conference, the speaker had been talking about the wells that were uncovered by Abraham's son Isaac. The story can be found in Genesis 26, where we find that there were three wells in total that had been dug by the servants of Abraham in the valley of Gerar. By Isaac's time, the wells had been filled in, and so he endeavoured to open them up again. During the conference, I went to the prayer room to spend time alone with God. And as I looked through Genesis 26, I was particularly drawn to what happened at those wells. When he began to open them up for water, Isaac found that with the first two wells, the local people ended up quarrelling with Isaac's herdsmen. But at the third well Isaac came to, with his herdsmen, something quite different happened. And in Genesis 26:22, we read this. Isaac moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarrelled over it. He named it Rehoboth, saying, "Now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land." No one was quarrelling. Isaac named the well Rehoboth. The word Rehoboth literally means room or spacious place. Now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land. As I meditated on these verses, I felt the Lord speak to me. Since you were ordained, you have been in two churches, and at both of these there was some disagreement, a lack of unity. I am going to bring you into a new place where there is no quarrelling, and in that new church there will be space for you to grow and to flourish. So when I came to Malvern, I started to attend different church services. I came along to St Andrew's, and there in the entrance hall just out there, just outside this worship area, I came in and I received a really good welcome that Sunday morning. A couple of people stepped forward to greet me. And then before coming in here, into this worship area, I stood to one side in the entrance hall to listen to God. Because all I had going round and round in my mind repeatedly was Rehoboth, Rehoboth, Rehoboth. And I knew that I was called to be here at St. Andrew's and All Saints, my Rehoboth, a spacious place where I could flourish. It was only later that I found out that our church logo symbolises the streams of living water flowing from the cross of Christ to a needy world, and that I noticed that the word flourish is actually in the strapline. God is truly amazing. At their third port of call, there was no quarrelling. There was unity. So I want to encourage us all here to value what we have at St. Andrew's and All Saints. Never take unity for granted. It has to be worked on. In his letter to the church in Ephesus, chapter 4, verse 3, Paul writes, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." But it is in being united that we are able to be carriers of the love of God to the world. Unity is the way to fruitfulness and blessing. The psalmist writes in Psalm 133, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore." The Lord bestows his blessing. The body needs unity as well as variety, just like God himself. In Christ, Romans 12, verse 5, we who are many form one body. We are called to guard our unity, exercising our gifts in humility so that they might dovetail into that unity. And for each of us in this season, we need humility to discern the gifts that we are able to offer as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, for this is our true and proper worship. Chapter 12, verse 1. In Christ, we who are many form one body. Let's just take a time of quiet now to reflect on what God's word is for each one of us today from this passage. Amen. If there's anything there that you'd like to follow up with anyone, maybe to have a prayer with somebody outside the church afterwards, then just let David or myself know and we can arrange whatever you need. Thank you.
In my life, Lord, be glorified. We come to our next psalm now, and please stand as we are. Turn to prayer. Fresh in our minds are the pictures of the G7 leaders meeting in Cornwall last week. Scripture commands us to pray for all world leaders. As the Apostle Paul wrote, I urge them, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may lead peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Hear us, O Lord, as we lift up before you all who bear the bewildering responsibility of government among the nations of the world. Give them wisdom beyond their own, integrity in all their dealings, and a resolve to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. We ask it in the name of Christ. Amen. In recent weeks, the media have drawn our attention to the strain and exhaustion felt by many doctors, nurses, and support staff in the NHS as they've struggled with all the pressures of the pandemic. We pray for them. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for those who have cared for the sick during this pandemic, for doctors, nurses, surgeons, and all those who are on the front line. We know that for those who work in hospitals, care homes, and intensive care wards, the work is both dangerous and challenging. We acknowledge the sacrifice and continued pressure that is the lot of those who care. May your love sustain them, your strength renew them, and your peace surround them. In Jesus' name, amen. From our Bible passage today, in Christ, we who are many are one body. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. When I pray, Lord, through your Spirit, please respond, answer our prayer. Lord, through your Spirit, answer our prayer. O God, our Father, you grant your people gifts, that we may work together in the service of your Son. Bless those who lead, that they may be strong and true, yet be humble before you. Lord, through your Spirit, answer our prayer. Bless those who teach, that they may enlighten our understanding, yet be taught by your wisdom. Lord, through your Spirit, answer our prayer. Bless those who offer healing, that they may extend your touch of grace, yet always know your healing presence. Lord, through your Spirit, answer our prayer. Bless those through whom you speak, that they may proclaim your word in power, yet have their ears open to your gentle whisper, Lord. Through your Spirit, answer our prayer. Grant that those who administer, help, and organize, that they may be diligent in their duty, yet seek your kingdom first. Lord, through your Spirit, answer our prayer. Grant us this one, as one body, we may grow up into him who is the head of the church, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we now come to our communion, and as always, we welcome around the Lord's table all those who truly love him and whose one desire it is to serve him day by day. The peace. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The peace of the Lord be always with you. We can perhaps give one another our elbows afterwards. So we come to our communion prayer. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared your life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all a perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed, at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit, that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise, and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. As our Saviour has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. The tokens of God for the people.
Jesus, Father, Christ, and Father, Lord.
So we pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. We come to our final hymn. Give to you and to all those you love his comfort and his peace, his light and his joy in this world and the next. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you now and always. Amen. go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.